So, leprosy today is known as Hansen's disease, named after the doctor who identified the bacteria that caused leprosy. It is a horrible disease. It was once thought to be incurable, and it certainly was in the time of today's readings from the Gospel and 2 Kings. It was also thought to be highly contagious. This turns out to be false, but in Jesus' time, it's why the lepers stood far off, because they were thought to be unclean and dangerous. While it is unclear if Naaman, the general from 2 Kings, or the 10 lepers from the Gospel really have Hansen's disease, what we really do know is that real, untreated leprosy disfigures the body. And because of nerve damage, hands can curl up into a claw, and the leper's body can become covered with open sores. Even other forms of what the Bible calls leprosy, which may have been simply psoriasis, could cause one to be called a leper and isolated as if you could cause great harm. It is not my intention to have a medical lecture here. I only say this as a backdrop.
Because you've got doctors out here that are going to challenge you if you do that.
I know. I only say this so we understand what the people in the readings were going through. Let's look at Naaman for a second, what he was going through. As we look back at the beginning of chapter 5 of 2 Kings, which we didn't read today. In 2 Kings, Naaman is the army commander of the king of Aram and is a highly respected man and a leper. So you can see outside of Israel, lepers were not necessarily isolated. They moved freely. Again, suggesting that leprosy in this reading is not likely what we know today as leprosy. But what's important here is that Naaman gets a message from a slave girl captured in a raid on Israel. She tells him to go back to Israel and a prophet there will cure him. Imagine that. He is asked to ask for help from the people he has just conquered. That's desperation. So he gets a blessing from the king, a letter asking the king of Israel's help in curing Naaman, and a whole bunch of money. And when the king of Israel reads the letter, he thinks that the king of Aram is looking for a fight because he sent a man to him to be cured of leprosy, which he cannot do, and he exclaims, "Am I a god with power over life and death?" Even the king knew his limitations, and only God could help this man. But Elisha the prophet, the man of God, has the answer. But Naaman doesn't like it. The prophet tells him he must bathe in the Jordan, and a river that is dirty by Naaman's standards, and he considers inferior to his own rivers in Damascus, and he refuses the advice. But on the advice of Naaman's servants, once again showing his desperation and a little bit of faith, he decides to take the prophet's advice and bathe in the river. And this is where we join Naaman in today's reading. To me, it's important to understand the state of this man. He was a proud, successful man, but he had a serious problem that required humility and desperation to solve. So he jumps in the water, and following the prophet's directions exactly, he plunges himself 7 times into the water. The plunging should remind us of our baptism and when we renew our baptismal vows. Naaman arises out of the water and is clean, full of gratitude for the prophet and for the God that the prophet believes in, who he now believes only exists in Israel. Naaman offers him all the money he has. Elisha refuses, but Naaman begs for just a little of the earth that is Israel, so he may worship that in his gratitude. Now let's look at the lepers in the gospel. They were isolated and afraid. They were shunned by society and blamed for having a disease. At that time, it was thought to be inherited, and like a lot of diseases at the time, was thought to be brought about by the sin of the sufferer as a punishment from God. So imagine their state, possibly disfigured, isolated into groups of fellow sufferers by some sin in society's eyes that they must have committed, and they are cursed by God. This was their state when they saw Jesus, who they recognize as Master, and they call out to him, "Jesus, Master, have pity on me." And at the sight of them, his mere looking at them, the gospel tells us he performs no other action. He begins their cure and tells them to go see the priests. They are told to do this before they are healed. They needed to have faith. So they leave Jesus to go see the priests, and on their way, they were cleansed. Such is the power of God. Leprosy is discussed quite often in the Bible, and while its definition in modern times is different from biblical times, there is now no doubt that the definitions overlap. And the modern form of the disease still illustrates important spiritual lessons today. And, you know, while we cannot or should not dismiss God's power to save us physically, as is evidenced by the many people whose illnesses have been cured or diminished because of prayer and intercessions to God, most of us will find practical use in our day-to-day spiritual life from the lessons we can learn from today's reading. Whether we are talking about leprosy as a minor affliction or leprosy as a debilitating disease, we can draw parallels to our own issues with sin that only cause us discomfort, or those sins that disfigure and scar our soul so much that we become insensitive to the pain we may be causing ourselves and others. Like one form of leprosy that destroys the nerves to the point where the sufferer no longer feels pain. So, as we focus on the solution to our own spiritual leprosy, in whatever degree we suffer, we will find that it will include doing things we don't want to do. Remember, however, what Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." For even Jesus had a moment when he expressed a little doubt in God's plan for him. Naaman certainly fought the Lord's commands initially, and we can guess the 10 lepers did not want to go to the priests where they thought they would be harshly judged for merely approaching them. But they acted on faith. And out of that faith came a gratitude to God for their salvation from their horrible afflictions. Well, we know of only one of them who really expressed that gratitude, though. And we can be encouraged by today's readings to have faith and gratitude for and to our God, especially if we truly believe the words from 2 Timothy, which state, "If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." God cannot be anything other than our Creator and through Christ, our Redeemer, from whatever spiritual, mental, and physical afflictions we may have. And for that, we should be truly grateful and thank him through lives lived out in love of God and humankind. And to this we say, amen.
Amen.